Hi, welcome back, everyone. Season 2, Episode 10, Once Upon a Phrase. I am your host, Jason.
And your other host, Lisa.
So, just a quick reminder, as always, wherever you're listening, YouTube, because we're there now, Spotify, Apple, what have you, please rate and review the show.
Also, don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Once Upon a Phrase.
And if you're in the Chicagoland area, particularly Andersonville, you got to stop by our boys, Fat Chris's Pizza and Such. You won't regret it.
All right, so just to recap, if you're just tuning in, we are doing bi-weekly episodes this season, and we did add a new aspect to our second season where you can submit phrases to us on Instagram, and we will give you a shout out if you'd like. Otherwise, keep yourself anonymous and share your phrases on air.
Yeah, we gotta add that extra part in there because our last listener request, our friend Jessie, she was very upset she didn't get a shout out until we got to the end of the episode, and she did get a shout out. So yeah, if it's on IG, obviously we just know your name, but a lot of the listener requests we've gotten so far have been personal. So I mean, they're our friends; they know who we are, they know what we do. So, all right, let's get going. I'm very excited about today's episode. It was one of our most popular and most streamed episodes from season one. This is Alcohol Part Two. All right, Lisa, get us
You
going.
should see his face on the other end of this mic. He's
Hey,
just grinning from ear
I'm sure I said this on season one.
to
Nobody can drink like a teacher can drink. I don't care.
Especially a teacher in the last, what, 5 weeks?
Oh yeah, but
Holy
I don't
moly.
care what you do for a living. You may think you can hang. You can't hang like a teacher can hang. But different topic, different day. Lisa, get us started. Alcohol part two. What's your first phrase?
So my first phrase is bender, or commonly known as using a phrase like going on a bender, or he went on a bender, or she went on a bender. Are you familiar with this one?
Oh yeah. In my heyday, I may have been on a bender or two. I lived with a roommate for 10 years, early on in life, my boy Tomo, and we put some benders together. I don't know that I could do it now. If any of our listeners are,
Over the age of 30.
you say 30 or 35? You think 30 is the cutoff?
I mean, you've had a scenario or two and you're still 35. You had a scenario or two before your age of 35 where you have taken longer to recover
I just
than
want it to be 35 so I don't feel as bad. But yeah, I'll say 30. I'm with you.
maybe in between 30 and 35 and be closer to
Sure.
35, but
Benders become a lot harder to go on.
all right, so for our listeners, if you're not familiar, a bender is commonly referred to as like 3 or more days of continuous drinking with little to no like sleep in between, just like partying for days on end, essentially.
Vegas. Those are probably most of my benders have occurred in
I think that's
Vegas.
probably where, yeah, because I feel like that's just the culture there. But so when I looked this phrase up, I was totally like, okay, well, it has to do with alcohol. It's got to be some way the word bender, right? It actually
Wait,
does not.
before you finish, can I tell you where I thought it came from?
Where?
I thought this originated from when you puked from drinking too much, you'd like bend over and you would puke a lot. I've never heard anything about that. That's just an image I made up in my head. So for a long time, when I thought you went on a bender, I thought it had to do with you bending over and puking.
So, I mean, it does have to do with the bending motion, but not bending over to puke. It originates in the early 1800s and refers to the act of bending your elbow to take a drink.
Get out of here. So I'm gonna take credit because I feel like I was half right in the explanation I made up in my head.
In the explanation that it was actually a physical motion that the bender came from, yes, not the same body part, but physical motion, yes. Where others say that it could have originated from the phrase getting bent out of shape.
I think the arm thing's gotta be it, right? Bending the arm because you're drinking beer or taking shots or whatever, you got to bend the arm. But what about that phrase turned up? Right? Isn't that mean like you're partying and drinking and stuff too?
Yeah, I think like my I
Why
don't
do we
use
have
that
so many?
phrase,
Well,
but I
no, we're
feel
too old to
like
use that phrase. But why are there so many phrases about drinking that have to do with like shifting your body? Are you turning up or bending your arm or.
I think it's the different generations of people who, I mean, we've talked about this for almost 2 seasons now, just different phrases that one person says, and then it kind of catches attention from others and it becomes a phrase. Because I don't know, we'd have to look up where turned up comes from, but I don't.
I just think of the song that goes, is it turn up for what or turn down for what? I don't know. We are not the right people to be discussing this. I'm going to stick to benders and drinking. That I can do.
So a little question for you though. Do you know the difference between binge drinking and going on a bender?
I would assume they're synonym. They're the same thing, right? Because if a bender is continuous drinking, isn't that what binge drinking is? I know what binge eating is. I can do that.
So from what I was able to do, a lot of times the two phrases are confused. Binge drinking usually refers to just a lot of drinks in one sitting. It doesn't necessarily mean that you are drinking over the course of like 3 days or so. It could mean just
Just back to back
like
to
a
back, like
really,
chain
really,
smoking, right? Like
right, like a
just.
really bad day and you just have a lot of drinks. Where a bender usually refers to it happening over a course of many days.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. Because, like I said, I can binge eat, but that's just me having one night, you know? Like,
Right,
if I were to.
you have a breakup or something, you binge eat ice cream on the couch and cookies or something like that, but
That's not why I binge eat, but sure.
I'm just thinking of like typical rom-com movies and that's what the women do, so.
For sure. Okay.
What do you got for us?
So this has been one of my favorite phrases. I really wanted to do it for the part one of this episode last season, but it didn't make the cut. And a coworker I work with was pretty bummed. He's like, "Oh, I thought you were gonna do to tie one on." So I made it a point to get in here this season. Do you know what it means to tie one on?
So, top of my head, I don't know the meaning, but when I think of it, I think of something like to add on to something.
Yes, in the literal sense. Yeah, sure, but this is just a common phrase to go get a drink. Not necessarily, it's not like bender or binge drinking. You're not getting, really drunk or one of the funny phrases from part one of this series was three sheets to the wind, just like being really drunk. This is not that. So to tie one on is just simply mean to go get a drink. This is comes from one of these phrases where, the origins is a mystery. But I found, in my research, two of the more likely of the candidates. The first one is, it's an old British phrase from like the mid-1800s. And this I buy because we steal a lot from Europe and the British in regards to our language and customs, mostly because we were all, not we, but, the early colonists were all British, so this one kind of makes sense. But it was sort of like how we would think of a sobriety test, right? How drunk are you? Can you balance a bun, like a bread bun, on your head? If you could, you weren't that drunk. But if the bun fell off, you were too drunk. So they would say that the only way that you could fake that test is if you tied the bun on. So
Okay.
there's an old British phrase, to tie on a bun. So that's pretty close. And like I said, we steal a lot of stuff from Europe. So I would guess that that has a lot to do with it. But about 100 years later, in the mid 1900s, we see to tie one on come into like US slang. And this, first thing that popped into my head is nautical, right? The old sailors and the Navy, like they're big drinkers. And you just know that a lot of American idioms and, parts of speech come from nautical terms. This ends up not being that. It actually means to tie, a drinking vessel onto you, like a jug or a flask, because that's how they would carry those things around back in the day. They would, tie one on around their waist or, tie one to their thigh just so it kind of dangled there, or tie one on into the inside of their jacket so they could carry it with them. And they literally tied a flask on. So when you said, "Oh, I'm gonna go tie one on," it actually meant to go get a drink.
Okay. So it doesn't necessarily always mean the necess doesn't necessarily mean alcohol in that sense, the way you explained at the very end. It could mean just
Oh
tying
no,
like a
definitely alcohol.
okay.
Oh, definitely alcohol. Yeah, because that's the only, beverage you would want to carry around with you. So in a flask or a jug, they would literally tie on this thing so that they could drink whenever they want it. And I like it because it's literal. Like sometimes we get deep into this, like, oh, it evolved from this and it once meant that, but now it means. No, this is literally to tie a flask on to the inside of your jacket or your waist so you can drink on the go.
Interesting.
All right.
Well, to go to piggyback off of, going getting a drink, I'm going to do the phrase saloon.
Okay, so I know what a saloon is, but the only thing I can think of, I just think old westerns. The
Yes.
swinging doors. I think those are called saloon doors or something, right?
Like batwing doors or something when I was looking
I've
up.
never heard batwing doors. Is that a thing?
That's what I thought they were when I was looking up the stuff. They were like batwing
Okay,
doors.
before you did research, what did you think those doors were called?
I was just swinging doors.
Okay, swing. Okay. Yeah, no, I've always, I don't even know if it's a word, but I thought they were saloon doors. Or that's, you see the old westerns of the guy kicking in and,
Yes, like
sure.
the yes, I've seen all those Wild West movies where
Sure,
that's
yeah.
kind of common to that. So, yeah, you're right. A saloon is a like a public bar, right? But that's not how it began.
Oh,
So
God.
when you talk about, the colonists and everyone coming over here, so it was originally a French word, salon, which meant an elegant room where people gathered. Okay? So like high class people.
Okay, so I just
Not a
want to.
Wild West
Sure, but I just want to.
saloon.
This is exactly what I just said, right? We are always stealing stuff from Europe, right? And I mean, I guess this time we stole something from the French, it looks like.
So, and then Italian has a similar word. Again, I'm probably mispronouncing it, but it's salon with an E at the end.
Stallone? Stallone? Stallone without the T.
And that was referred to like a large reception hall, so like large rooms, right? Where in people's mansions where they would meet and things like that. So it was definitely like an elegant,
It's like
like an
fancy. Yeah,
fancy,
it's
right?
I because you're talking about France and Italy, so I imagine people sitting around like sipping tea, or wine and discussing, world politics and things like that, right?
Yeah, and from what I was able to gather, originally the colonists wanted to adapt the word salon, but had messed up the spelling of it.
Stop it. Are you kidding me?
And they added an extra O,
Bunch of dummies.
which is why it's called a saloon and not a salon.
Wait, is it supposed to be salon?
That was the original intention, but of misspelling, it
But
was not.
these dummies just added a letter and now we gotta say some goofy made-up word?
Yeah, because now if we talk about going to the salon, you're talking about going to get your hair done or get your nails done or something of the sort.
So I wonder if that salon is meant to also reflect this, the French meaning. Like when you go to the salon, I don't know what it's like at the salon, but I
Well, I
like.
feel like, I mean, I wouldn't say elegant people, but you have to have money. You're not walking in there to get your hair done and get your nails done if you don't have money.
When I wasn't even thinking about the money aspect of it. I was thinking of like compared to like a barber shop where people sit around and they talk.
It's a meeting
Does
place,
that
but
happen at a salon too? Like
yeah, I mean, you like
are the women chatty in there
I've
or?
talked to women getting their nails done next to me. I've talked to people getting their hair done because often in those places, whether you're getting your nails done, your hair done, things of that sort, you're there for an extended period of time, whether it be 30 minutes to an hour or 2 hours, depending on what you're getting done. So it leaves you a lot of time to socialize.
But it's just funny because in the original, you said from France, this wasn't a place like they didn't get makeup done. They actually went there to have like tea and wine and drinks. So it's kind of interesting to see how in America we've made it about looks, but the purpose is the same, right? To still converse and discuss things and gossip and, even in a barbershop, those same things happen. But we just like to add letters.
All right, what do you got for us?
All right, so this was one I thought I knew, and I always get mixed up. Do you know the difference between being on the wagon and off the wagon?
I think I'm gonna get this mixed up, but I think on the wagon is you're drunk. Off the wagon, you've given up the booze.
Exact opposite.
Oh,
So
okay.
this stems
50-50
back.
chance.
Sure. Almost nailed it, sweetie.
Yay!
One of these is a round of applause. Hold on. I haven't used this button in a while. I can't find it. Nope, here it is. One more time. Round of applause, sweetie.
Yay!
All right. So this is, you know, the late 19th, you know, century, early 20th century during the temperance movement, and there was this big prohibition push. Remember, everybody was trying to get everyone to stop. Not everybody was trying to get. It was basically like one group called MOM. Women had basically just gained the right, or were about to gain the right to vote, and there was a big need to capture that women's vote, and they wanted no drinking, and they wanted prohibition, so a lot of the politicians supported that.
What did MOM stand for?
God, it was... I feel like this is something I should know, but it was basically a group of women, and... you know what, off the top of my head, I don't remember. But they wanted alcohol to be banned, and this had a lot to do with just men coming home after work and, you know, wasting their whole paycheck at the saloon, or going on benders, or beating them. And
that's
their
what
children.
I was going with. Like, I was like, I'm trying not to go the negative route, but
yeah,
I feel
so that's why
the woman being home all day and the guy is coming home sloshed.
Yeah,
probably not being the kindest person in all situations.
No, that's exactly it. And so because of that, they wanted to ban alcohol, and because, like I said, women had were gaining the right to vote. They got the politicians on their side. Anyway, so not to get too far off track. Back then, streets were filthy, right? Cities were dirty, and what they had was an actual water truck, or like a water wagon, that went through the neighborhoods and just hosed down the sidewalks.
Sounds like a waste of water, but hey.
Well, no, they didn't have the infrastructure. Like,
no streets and sands department? No,
not yet. So they had to have this... you know, this water wagon go through to hose down the streets and the sidewalks so cities would still be clean. Well, if you were on the wagon, it was, you know, a metaphor, but it meant you were on the water wagon. So no booze, just water.
Oh.
Not necessarily just water, but, you know. So they had, you know, they adopted the saying, oh, I'm on the wagon, just water for me.
Oh, okay.
And
that's
then if you
cool.
were off the wagon, no more water for you. They, I'm sure this is a very popular phrase without it, but what I always think of, and we haven't gotten to that episode yet for our listeners, I just finally got Lisa to start watching Seinfeld, and I'm very excited. It's a big moment in our house. But there's a whole on the wagon, off the wagon episode, and at the end of it, they're hiding from a guy who's off the wagon and going, he's a little kind of drunk and aggressive. And again, just like Seinfeld, well, they're having a casual conversation, and they're like, wait, is it on the wagon or off the wagon? And even they are confused in this very scary situation, but that's all they can think about. So I never knew which one was which either, or maybe
well,
I did.
I just feel like they're like, okay, on means like you're on the booze. Not that that's a phrase, but, and off meant you're off of it. Like off being more a positive word, like you gave it up versus on being you're on it. But I could see what you mean by if it originates with the water trucks, then it makes sense that it would refer to that.
Yep. So it was fun to see that, you know, that phrase, again, have a very literal meaning. I'm on the water wagon, or on the wagon, off the wagon, because especially nowadays, it's, I don't know anybody that's either stays on, or wait, now I'm getting him confused. Yeah, stays on the wagon too long, especially in our profession. Sometimes it's nice to have a drink or two.
But I feel like being on or off the wagon, do you think it literally means having a drink or like abusing the privilege?
I would say now we use it as the abuse. You know,
right.
He's off. It's got that negative,
like,
connotation.
Let's
also
say, like,
off the wagon
he's always drinking.
Yeah.
Versus like, hey, you had a drink Friday night with friends and you haven't drank 2 weeks before that. That wouldn't put you off the wagon.
No,
right?
Technically, I think yes, if you're using it like in the literal sense of the phrase. But I think as idioms go and, you know, phrases go, we lean towards that negative connotation where it's more about abuse than anything. But I would imagine when the phrase first came out back then, they took it a little bit more seriously, especially if, you know, the men were coming home and wasting their paychecks and sloshed and, you know, hitting everybody. You know, you maybe wanted to be serious and stay on the wagon.
We're very consciously making sure we're using it right. As I see
Yeah,
you
oh, every time I
look at Rachel,
sit.
like on the wagon, or the look in your eyes that like puzzles, like on, off, because
I just
against.
learned definitively what each side means. So I think before we used to just say it randomly, and then
Yes.
everybody knew what you were talking about. It didn't matter if you got the on or off part correct. Everybody knew what you meant to say. But now, because I did figure out, you're right, I'm very subconsciously trying to say the right thing. And it's thrown off my timing and everything. I can't get.
That pause you have, and the look on your face, like, okay, am I saying this one right? Do I have it right this time?
I will say this, maybe, you know how you mentioned like it's probably more negative like towards abuse
Yeah.
now. I will say there's probably a sense in pride for the people that are on the wagon, you know, assuming we relate it towards abuse. If you're actively on the wagon, it means you're not abusing alcohol. Maybe you're clean and sober, and
Yeah, sobriety, yeah.
yeah, and that's something people should be proud of, right? So, you know, we may be joking around about on or off the wagon, but, you know, shout out to anybody that's on the wagon, you know, doing it the right way. Good for you.
All right, so this phrase that I found, I stumbled upon looking up other phrases, and then I just went on a spree of looking up what it meant. So,
Down the rabbit hole she goes.
blind pig. Have you ever heard that? Do you have any idea what it means?
Never heard this. When you told me that you were adding this to our show doc, the first thing I thought of was yes, definitely do this. And I didn't even know what it meant. I just think it's funny. But I gotta be honest, this is something I've never heard of. I'd be interested to see how many of our listeners have actually heard of this phrase, but just share.
So I didn't hear about it either until I looked it up. So blind pig refers to an establishment that would—I don't want to use the word sell, but sell drinks during like Prohibition.
Oh, so again, yeah, it feels like a lot of these phrases came about during Prohibition. Almost as if alcohol was on the mind, even though it was illegal.
So the phrase, I guess. Originated in Detroit, and it was referred to a cop that would accept bribes from like the speakeasy owners and things like that to kind of keep them in business and not shut them down and close them up. And then it kind of just was used throughout the U.S. So what it exactly did is it started in Maine, and what they would do is all across the U.S., wherever they were. Like hidden bars, essentially.
Speakeasies, yeah.
Well, so they would not do the blind the they would not use the word blind pig to refer to like a speakeasy, because a speakeasy, from what I was able to gather, was a more high end place that would serve alcohol, whereas this would be more of a place you get like a dive bar, essentially, the way we would look at it now, that would be
I
referred
love a
to as
good dive bar.
a blind pig. And what would happen is, which I thought was really cool. Is the owners of these places selling drinks illegally would invite people in for a price to see a blind pig, or in other parts of the US, a blind tiger or a striped pig. And what it was is it invited people
These just
in.
made up animals?
Yeah, just,
Okay.
you know. So, what it was invited people in for a price to see an animal, something they were curious about. And then once they were in the establishment, they were provided a drink for free.
Okay,
So they
'cause
weren't paying for the alcohol, which is
what
what was against the
yeah, and
rules.
I think that's something people forget about Prohibition. Drinking alcohol was not illegal. It was like making it and selling it was illegal.
Right. So if, hey, I came to see this animal,
Striped pig or blind pig or whatever.
and what kind of sparked this for me is thinking about a lot of times now, a lot of just establishments in general, they advertise some cool feature they have just to get you in to then, sometimes they do offer a free drink or a free something if you come in and pay this price for this. So I think it's like a very early marketing technique just to kind of get business in
Yeah, so
and also be able to sell the liquor that they had.
Yeah. Well, not sell.
Well, not
Because
sell.
that's illegal.
Provide
Yes.
the liquor they had and
So I don't
take the
know
profits.
if you remember, but while you're telling this story, the first thing that popped in my head is we used to live in the Lincoln Square neighborhood of Chicago ways back. And there was a hot dog shack over in that area called the Chubby Wiener. And they sold a hot dog
Oh,
called the
yeah.
Capitalist Pig. And this hot dog was just a jumbo Chicago style hot dog, right? Nothing, special about it other than it was a jumbo size Chicago hot dog. And it was $250 for this hot dog.
Was that the one with the Johnny Walker bottle?
Yeah, but
Okay.
if you bought the hot dog for $250, you got a free bottle of Johnny Walker Blue Label, which, I mean, obviously you're paying for the bottle, not the hot dog. But that was also, like you had mentioned, that's a marketing gimmick. This place just happened to be next door to a liquor store. And I remember talking to the guy behind the counter one day, and I was like, "Have you ever sold this thing?" He said, "One time on New Year's Eve." And he just took the guy's money. He went next door and he bought a bottle of Blue Label, and then he came back and gave it to him. So, marketing gimmick. But I mean, during Prohibition, you got to do what you got to do. You got to get people in the door. And it.
I just wonder if like the cops came to if they found this, dive bar essentially and came in and saw alcohol being served, but if there was no money, like how would they know if there was money exchanged? Does that make sense? Because all the Blind Pig was is essentially a marketing technique to get you in the door to then have you pay to see this animal of sorts and give you a free drink. But how would like the authorities know the difference between, hey, you're selling alcohol versus you're just serving alcohol? Does that make sense?
I know the answer. They didn't care. The authorities,
Oh, so they walked in and
it
there was
was so
alcohol
hard
being
to
given.
enforce. And no, especially in that time, Prohibition, depending on the city you're in, a lot of these were run by the mob and, things like that. And they didn't care. They were being paid off or they needed to look the other way, or they also frequented that speakeasy. So who knows?
Alrighty, what do you got for us?
So, for those keeping count at home, this is our sixth phrase of the show. That's a once upon a phrase record. And that is just because, like I said, alcohol part one was one of our most popular episodes. We wanted to squeeze all these in. So, our final phrase, other than the listener request, is bootlegger. So, off the top of your head, what does it mean to be a bootlegger? Or to what comes to mind when you think of that?
Like concealing alcohol.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's part
I'm
of
just
it.
thinking, you know how like when people, I guess looking, thinking of the word literally, like a bootlegger, like you keep things in like the your boot. Like I've seen like TikToks, Instagram, where like girls go to country concerts and they keep like bottle little mini bottles of alcohol tucked inside their boots.
So
I'm just assuming because we're talking about alcohol that it's got something to do with that.
that is actually the exact definition. So,
Oh, you and me.
yeah, right. Way to spoil my big finale, Lisa. But,
Anytime.
right. So, yeah, so a bootlegger, it refers to anybody that smuggled alcohol illegally, especially during the Prohibition time. And what they would do is they would take these tiny, half pint-sized bottles, and they would shove them in their boots. And this was a way that they could casually walk down the street and not look like they were carrying alcohol. And they could transport, illegally, they could transport alcohol from distilleries or speakeasies or other bars.
I mean, it would take a while if I have to fit it inside my boot, I could fit one or two, and then I'd have to walk it there and then walk it back to grab more and so
Yeah, well, there
forth.
was also a lot of people that would do this.
Okay.
The term, like many, have evolved over time. Now we kind of just use that as a general term for anybody doing anything illegal, but usually in like selling or making of an illegal good, like a bootleg DVD. Do you remember
Oh
bootleg
yeah,
DVDs?
I
Yeah.
when you're thinking about like any activity, I was like, oh, we talk about things being bootleg all the time when you get like the off brand of
Yeah, it means
like,
they're fake, right? Oh, it's bootleg. Yeah,
okay.
so that's what they were doing though, because alcohol was illegal. They were, however, the bootleggers eventually, like you said, it would take a long time, right? So they needed a better, faster way to transport things back and forth because shoving alcohol in their boots was not working well enough. And they started getting into cars, and they had to make sure their cars were fast enough to outrun the police. So they started tweaking their cars and making them, better traction, better brakes, better engines, so they could outrun the police. And
They
it,
love this alcohol, so to the
well,
point where
yeah.
they are changing their cars
Well,
to
it
ensure they
worked
can get
out
it there safely. Okay.
because not only are they transporting alcohol back and forth, but they fell in love with the cars, and they fell in love with driving fast cars, and they fell in love with making cars, bigger, stronger, faster. And it eventually just, they cut the alcohol out, and they just got into racing. And the NAS, I mean, the sport NASCAR was evolved from bootleggers that
That is
created cars.
absolutely insane to think that that's where it got its start.
Yeah, and I mean, there's not, it's not an AB thing, right? They didn't go from smuggling booze to the Talladega, is a lot of stuff in the middle, but I mean, they needed cars that could outrun the police, and then it became more about the cars than it was about the booze, and they just loved to race. And they would do this through the woods, on the beach, I mean, anywhere that they could find, an open space or roads that would allow them to do it without being seen. And then the racing culture caught on and evolved into what we know as NASCAR.
That is
All
crazy.
because of some bootleggers.
You're
All right, that was my big finale you spoiled. Thank you.
welcome anytime.
All right, so listener request. This one comes in from actually our neighbor who we keep telling her all the time, oh, we have a podcast. And she's like, oh, yeah, I'll check it out. Finally, she checked it out. And then she was like, how do I get the listener request? And we just gave her priority because she's our neighbor and we want our neighbors to like us. So she asked about Grapevine. So, Lisa, if somebody were to tell you, I heard it through the grapevine, what does that mean?
I think of it as like you hear from other people.
I mean, that's it. And I don't even know that I could ever say I heard it through the grapevine without the song in my head. Did that register at all to you? I just sing it, heard it through the grapevine. Nope. No, you're not going to get in on this?
No.
Oh my God, you
I'm
should
gonna let you
sing.
solo it. It's all
No.
good.
Nope, I'm going to stop right. I thought you were going to hop in there with me and I thought we were going to go to town on this.
No, singing is not what I'm doing. No.
All right, well, maybe some listeners will sing along at home. All right, so a grapevine, if you don't know, they actually mean a real grapevine. Have you ever seen grapes grow?
No.
They sprawl. They're vines. They grow on
I
things,
just
on
see them how I
walls.
get a medjool. I don't know.
Well, that they're on a vine. Imagine that. Whoop. I don't know what that's gonna do if a weird sound just came because I smacked my mic. But I'm not editing that out, so I hope it wasn't too bad. But yeah, so back in the day, when people's only form of communication was the telegraph, telegraphs work through phone wires, basically.
Okay.
And this was amazing, right? Samuel Morse creates Morse code, and then the telegraph gets created, and people finally have a way of communicating with each other almost instantly, And it catches on like wildfire. People love this thing. And they got to get phone lines up and they got to get telephone poles up and they can't get them up fast enough. They're going up everywhere, long distances, cities. I mean, they're just happening everywhere. The only problem is it's happening too fast. There was wires everywhere and they couldn't keep putting poles up. So a lot of times what the telegraph company used was trees. I mean, they're nature's poles, right? So they stopped putting up like telephone poles and they started using trees to connect all the wires throughout the cities.
I'm just thinking about our backyard and our own wire that the tree
Oh
jacked up.
yeah.
So,
So essentially what happened,
terrible idea, hindsight, but okay.
whatever, it's done now. But they had wires now going through trees, so vines were wrapping around the wires, and in a lot of areas it was hard to tell what was a vine, what was a tree, what was a telegraph wire. It just all became one. So they actually meant I heard it through the grapevine because,
They refer to the telegraph wires as grapevines.
which also had vines around them and trees around them and looked like grapevines because, especially in busy areas, there was just bundles and bundles of them everywhere and it looked crazy. So, and
That's so interesting.
not literal exactly. because obviously you don't hear things through grapevines.
Right. It's more figuratively, but it's based on a literal thing of a grapevine, the way it looked. Yeah.
So, I always, and like I said, I always hear the song, and it just, it's funny when something that mainstream, which I imagine the phrase itself is made popular by the song.
Right.
So, again, you know, media picks something up. It spreads. Everybody hears it. Everybody says it. Maybe not everybody says it, but everybody at least knows what it means.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it's got an interesting origin that's pretty literal / figurative. I guess it depends on how you look at it.
That was a good listener request. I would have never thought about that.
And, you know, if you feel like passing this podcast along through the grapevine. I just had to do it one more time. All right, I'm going to wrap us up. Guys, please remember, wherever you're listening, rate and review the show.
Also, don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Once Upon a Phrase.
And grab a slice of that Fat Chris's Pizza and Such if you're in the Chicagoland area. You will not be disappointed.
All right, until next time. Bye.
Bye, guys.